The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go first and be reconciled with your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. And I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body cast into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head. You cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it's not one of the shorter Gospels of the year, so we need to get right to work here. I just want to say that, make two general observations and then look at these four pictures that the Lord gives us. The first general observation that I want you to note is the power of the new life that the Lord is offering us. The power. Notice that one of the dangers when we come to the moral precepts of the New Testament is that we think that, well, look here, Jesus is giving me a lot to do. I have to stop being so angry. I have to stop being so lustful. I gotta, you know, be a man and woman of my word. I gotta, you know, start loving my spouse and cut out all the divorce stuff. You know, you're overwhelmed. You know, it overwhelms you pretty quickly. So the problem is that we're thinking that on our own flesh power, we have to pull this off. But what the Lord is really doing here, more than prescribing things for us, is that he is describing things. He's describing what a Christian, what a human being who has been transformed looks like and is. The Lord is fundamentally saying to us, when I begin to live my life in you, you're going to stop being so angry and so hateful. You're going to stop being so lustful. You're going to begin to have authority over your anger and your sexuality. You're going to begin to, love your spouse and your family. You're not going to want to run away from the commitments you make. And you're going to be a man and a woman of your word. These things will take place not because you have done them, but because I am living in you and I am fulfilling the law. I am keeping the commandments in you. The moral life for a Christian is received as a gift. And this is therefore, this gospel is, the Lord is saying to you, here are the dimensions of the gift that I am offering you. I'm offering you a new life. I'm offering you a new heart and a new mind. If you allow me to begin this work of transforming you, this is what you will begin to be like. Now, notice the way this text begins. It simply says, the Lord has said, I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Who is the one who fulfills the law? Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills the law. And that's why, again, what this gospel is promising us is that as he begins to live his life in us, we will fulfill the law. So the first point to make is that the power to keep all of these precepts that the Lord is giving is not in our flesh. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ who is living his life in us and giving us the grace to live this way. Now, the second point to make is not only the power of this new life, but also then the principle of this new life. Again, notice this word, fulfill. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. What does it mean to fulfill something? Well, in this particular case, what it means, the Greek word is parison, and it means to fill something full. Now, that may sound absurd, but to fulfill means to fill something full. That is to say that we don't simply keep the law in its bare legalistic minimum, but we fill the law full. We live out all of its implications. We experience not just that we keep it at a minimum, but we fulfill in that we follow all the different implications joyfully in our heart. So, for example, the Lord says to us, it's not enough for you not simply to kill people, but when I begin to live my life in you, you won't just refrain from killing people. You're going to stop having that hateful, bitter, retributive anger that wants to destroy people for what they've done to you. I'm going to lift that from your heart. You're actually going to love your enemy. You're actually going to let go of some of these horrible hurts and this hatred that can so consume us that we are either willing to kill somebody or simply say, you might as well be dead for all I care. The Lord says, I can take that away from you. So, a true Christian isn't just not killing people. A true Christian is actually beginning to love and see all that hateful anger go away. Again, it is said here, it's not enough for you simply not to commit adultery in the sense of breaking a marriage law. But when I begin to live my life in you, you will have a chaste mind and heart. You will have a purity that is not even just in your general actions and behavior, but even in your heart and your mind. I can and will give you authority, not only over your anger, but over your sexuality. Again, this is the kind of healing the Lord is offering us, so that we don't just keep the law, the bare minimum, but we excel and fulfill and fill full all the implications because the Lord is working a work in us. And again, it is said, it's not enough for you just not to divorce. When I give you a new heart, you're actually going to love your spouse. You won't want to divorce them. All the anger and the bitterness and some of the resentfulness that can go on in families, the Lord says, I can bring healing here. I can heal you. And so again, finally, the Lord says here, he says, look, it's not enough for you not just to not, if you will, tell lies or not make false vows or promises. I'm going to make you a man or a woman of your word. You're going to have integrity so that what you say is true. And you live that truth. And you speak the truth in love. So you see then, this principle of fulfilling means to take the commandment and not just say, well, good, didn't kill anybody today, got that commandment down, on to the next commandment, you know. The Lord is saying there's something deeper that you're being called to. And that's what it means to fulfill. All right. Then some of the pictures. See, we've seen the power of this new life. We've seen the principle of this new life to fulfill the law. And then finally, the pictures that the Lord gives us. The Lord says here, look, you've heard that it was said not to kill, not to murder. But I say to you, whoever's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Now, we have to distinguish different types of anger, right? First of all, there is such a thing as righteous anger. When we see or experience injustice, it is appropriate for us to be angry. Likewise, but that doesn't give us permission to throw the furniture and start cursing. But it's an energy that helps us to address the injustice. There is also what we might call that passing anger. We all experience, it's just part of our human nature, annoyances and irritations, but we let them go. You see, they pass through us. But the third kind of anger is this anger which the Lord is talking about. It is that anger that is hateful, that is revengeful, that seeks to destroy the one who has angered me. It is an anger that we grow, that we hold on to, the resentments build, and we finally come to a place in our life where we simply say, I despise you, I hate you, I wish you were dead. Now, that's what the Lord is getting at. He's saying that has to go. You see, when I live my life in you, that's just not going to be part of your life. You're not going to hold on to this bitter anger and hatred of people. You see, it just has to go. And as I give you a new mind and a new heart, it will go. And the Lord gives a couple of examples of what he means by this kind of anger. He says, if anyone calls his brother raka or fool. Now, the word raka, a lot of scholars think, just means fool. You notice it's not translated. It's not an English word. It's from the Hebrew or from the Aramaic. And the only way I can tell you that from my study of it is that it means more than fool. It is a very hurtful and hateful word with a history. A little bit like, in our culture, the N-word. A lot of grief, a lot of hatred, a lot of disrespect goes with that word. It's a long history. And the Lord is saying, this is simply not even to be uttered. It is not to occur to you to say raka to your brother. In effect, what raka would seem to mean in that sense is you are an absolute fool. You have no dignity in you. There is nothing of God in you. There is nothing in you that I respect. You are completely worthless. You simply use up oxygen. I wish you were dead. It is a very, very disrespectful, hurtful, and hateful word. And the Lord is using this as an example of the kind of anger, the hateful anger, that he is talking about. And again, the Lord is saying, look, I can give you a new heart so that this kind of stuff isn't in you. Now, the Lord does say this has to go. In fact, he says basically, if you're not going to let go of this kind of a thing, you're going to jail. That's what he says. If you can't let go of this, you're going to jail. Now, whether that jail is purgatory or hell is... It will depend, you know. For example, he suggests that, you know, if you're on your way to the day of judgment, and we all are, and we won't resolve this, and we want to hold on to this kind of an anger, you're going to go to jail. And there seems to be some possible release from this jail. The Lord says you won't be released until you've paid the last penny. That is to say, until you finally let go of this anger, you cannot bring this kind of hateful anger to heaven with you. It just doesn't get there. You're either going to let go of it now, or you're going to jail, purgatory. You will resolve it. Might as well get about it now. Let me work on you now. Let me help you now. Just remember, you're on your way to judgment. And you cannot bring hateful anger in your heart and think you're walking into heaven. It just ain't going to happen. I got to deal with this. Let me work on you now. All right. The next picture. Notice again, the first picture is, look, the Lord is saying, I can help you to let go of some of the hateful anger that you may be carrying around in you. That resentful, hateful, and bitter anger. The second thing the Lord said is, look, you've heard you're not supposed to commit adultery. See, but that's more, he says, than just breaking some marriage law. What I want to give you is a heart and a mind that is pure. A heart and a mind that is not, if you will, engaging in lustful or unchaste thoughts. You say, well, man, that's impossible. Look, the Lord can do it. The Lord can give us a whole new mind and a whole new heart. Now, we live in a culture that is constantly trying to excite this aspect of our personality. But once again, the Lord can give this to us. He can give us authority over our sexuality and authority over our thoughts. And again, as the Lord lives his life in us, this begins to take place. The Lord says here, look, I want you to understand that all of the stuff that goes on in the culture that a lot of people make light of has to go. There's no place for fornication, for looking at pornography on the internet. There is no place for the fornication and for the illicit sexual acts that proceed that come from this type of thinking. All of this has to go. No place for adultery and no place for homosexual activity. There is no place for premarital sexuality or sex called fornication. There is no place for all of this fantasizing and this looking at pornography. This has to go. It cannot be in the heart and the mind of a Christian in whom I am living my life. And the more I live my life, it will go. It will go. It is a gift that I promise you of a pure mind, a chaste heart, and a pure mind. This is the gift I'm offering you. And once again, the Lord is very firm here. He says, look, I'm telling you right now, this is a serious matter. You know, the world likes to make light of this. Oh, well, it's no big deal. The church just has hang-ups. Well, look, I'm quoting Jesus here. And Jesus says, look, if your eye is your problem, tear it out. If your hand is your problem, cut it off. Now, what does he mean by this? He's not saying that we should mutilate ourselves, but he's using hyperbole to make this point that what you make light of and think is no big deal is, in fact, a big deal. It is worse to sin in this way than to go blind. It is worse to sin in this way than to lose a limb. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, you see, we don't think like that. If I were to lose my right arm today, I would hate this day for the rest of my life. I cringe at the thought of it. But why don't we cringe at the thought of our sin? You see, the Lord is saying sin is more serious than to lose your arm, lose your eyesight. But again, we just say, yeah, well, it's no big deal. Well, God is saying it is a big deal. And stop calling good or no big deal what I have called serious and what I want you to be serious about being rid of. And that's what the Lord is getting at here. He's saying, don't you understand something? All this unchastity has to go. It is not part of the transformed human person. Now again, we have to trust God in this, and we have to ask God's help. He's not saying, you know, get scared and suddenly become chaste. He's saying, be serious about this, though. I want to change this part of your life if this is a problem. I want you to be able to let go of all this unchastity, all this sexual impurity. It's a serious matter, and I want to deal with it because I love you, and I want to set you free, and I want to change your heart and mind. The Lord goes on to say, it's also said that whoever divorces his wife better make sure that he fills out all the paperwork. That was the law of Moses. Moses permitted divorce, but you had to make sure you went through the process and you filled out all the paperwork. You gave her, quote, a writ of divorce. Okay. The Lord says, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to divorce your wife in the first place? See, once again, it's not enough for you to say, I followed all the rules when I divorced my wife. When I transform you, you're going to love your wife. You won't want to divorce her. You're going to love your husband. Yes, they're imperfect. Yes, they drive you crazy. But in the end, you love them. You love them. You don't want to divorce. See, the Lord is saying, I'm not just asking you to follow the rules. I want to give you a new heart. So that you actually love your wife, you actually love your husband, and you love your children, and you wouldn't want to do anything to hurt them. I'm going to give you a heart that says, baby, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. It's one of those wonderful transformations. And listen, I wasn't born yesterday. I know that some of the deepest hurts that people carry are often related to their marriage and to their family. We need a lot of healing here. See, we need a new heart. We need to have a forgiving heart. Someone say amen, you know? We need to have a patient heart. Because again, there's tension in families. That's true. There's tension because that's where the stuff we really care about is. And once again, the Lord can say, I can give you a new heart. And I will give you this heart. Let me live my life in you. You're really going to love, appreciate your family, your spouse, in a new way, in a deep way, with a deep and abiding love. And then finally, the Lord says, look, this fourth picture of a transformed person. He says, look, you know, at the time of Jesus, the Jewish people had all these legalistic rules about how you swore and what formula you use and how binding the oath was based on that. And the Lord says, cut it out. Stop all that. Well, I swore only by my head. I didn't swear by the altar. Come on. The Lord says, cut it out. Be a man or a woman of your word. And when I start to live my life in you, you're going to do that. You're going to speak the truth in love. You're going to stop playing games. You're going to stop all these legalisms about what you swore and when you swore and how you swore it. And you're just going to speak the truth in love. You're going to be a man or a woman of integrity. And when you make a commitment, you're going to be faithful to that commitment. You're going to be careful about some of the commitments you make. But when you make them, your yes means yes. And your no means no. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have integrity, be a man or a woman of your word. Okay, a long gospel, a lot of things to think about. But in the end, it's very simple. The Lord is saying, I can and will transform you if you let me. And when I do, there are many things that will happen in your life. And among them are these. You will begin to have authority over your anger. You'll have a new heart that loves even people who have hurt you. And you're going to seek reconciliation with people you've hurt. You're going to be chaste in your thoughts and in your deeds. You're going to be having authority over your sexuality and even over your thought life. You're going to actually love your family members, your spouse, and your children. Even though sometimes they drive you crazy, you're going to love them. And you're going to be a man and a woman, or a woman of integrity. who speaks and says yes when they mean yes and no when they mean no. And there are many other things the Lord can do for us. But brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is giving us today, a new heart, a new mind. Now listen, I'm a witness. This is not just slogans and hopeful things. The Lord is doing this in my life. Brothers and sisters, I won't bore you this morning. You've heard me say it before, but the Lord has set me free in all these areas so much. He's done so much for me. I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord can and will do this in all of our lives. And I hear a few of you right now. Some of you are also witnesses. The Lord is doing this in your life. Maybe you struggled a lot more with your anger, but now the Lord is helping that to abate. Maybe you struggled with sexuality, but the Lord is making you more chaste. Maybe you struggled with your marriage, but the Lord is helping you to find reconciliation. Maybe the testimony is that I'm learning to speak the truth in love. Whatever the Lord is doing, I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a witness, and I hear some other witnesses. This is not just words from the Lord. This is real. The Lord will do this. The Lord can do this. The Lord has done this, and he will continue to do it. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "May God, who has begun a good work in you, bring it to completion." The old gospel song just simply says, "Give me a clean heart so I may serve you. Give me, Lord, a clean heart." Amen.